It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. And this is your Friday Five, but it's on Saturday, the 3rd of February. We are bringing you this a day later than usual, because obviously there's a small matter of the transfer deadline, which happened late on Thursday night. So we are recording this on Friday to bring to you on Saturday. In just a few minutes, we'll be joined by George, who you know, and our guest contributor, Steve, who you don't. But before we do that, let's head over to the 1865 news desk.
Hi, this is Jamie Martin with your top five Forest stories from the 1865 news desk. Now, the headline of this week's news, Evangelos Marinakis has hit back at the Premier League CEO. This week, while at a conference at the City Ground, Evangelos Marinakis spoke to members of the media, with journalists from The Guardian asking for his thoughts on the remarks made by the Premier League CEO, Richard Masters, just last month. In January, while at a committee hearing, Masters used the term small clubs while discussing Forest and Everton's PSR breach charges, citing major concern over the CEO's respect for all the clubs in the league and causing anger amongst the fan bases of the aforementioned teams. Masters has received criticism from the Forest owner, who described the remarks as inappropriate and highlighted the size of both Everton and Nottingham Forest, despite being called small clubs. Nottingham Forest have two Champions Leagues and Everton have never been relegated from the Premier League. And also in this week's news, the City Ground has hosted the Nottingham Conference, hoping to share a powerful message. Before Nottingham Forest's recent fixture against Arsenal, the City Ground hosted some of the game's most iconic faces in a conference that aims to fight racism and improve gender equality. The conference, known as the Nottingham Conference, which is taking place this week at the stadium with the likes of Thierry Henry, Lewis Grabban and Cat Craig, all in attendance at the conference in partnership with Hertford University, which has a long-standing relationship with Forest's sister club Olympiacos and the Lilian Torum Foundation. Nottingham Forest aim to achieve landmark agreements on measures to fight against racism and gender inequality within the game. Such measures will not only be implicated by the Nottingham club, but also submitted to governing bodies and other European clubs. Nottingham Forest owner has championed the conference as a means to create a better experience for fans within the game and help rid the game of racist and sexist actions. Now, the third news headline this week, Oro Mangala has joined Olympique Lyonnais on a permanent move. Nottingham Forest star Oro Mangala has joined Ligue 1 side Olympique Lyon on a permanent move after a successful year on Trentside. Signing for a fee of around £11 million from Stuttgart in summer 2023, Oro Mangala has cemented himself as one of the best pieces of recruitment in the Marinakis era of ownership at Nottingham Forest, gradually beating off injury woes and showcasing his superb talent in midfield. Now with the stock high, Forest have opted to sell the Belgian midfielder on a deal originally as a loan with a guaranteed purchase at the end of the deal. The deal, which is expected to be worth around or up to £30 million, will start as a loan and eventually become a permanent signing in the summer. However, there's various different reports on the fee, but the fee is likely around the £25 to £30 million mark. Oro Mangala will sign on a contract until 2028. Also in this week's news, a new Forest fan park has opened in Nottingham. A brand new fan park has opened in Nottingham for Nottingham Forest fans, with the new destination hoping to further improve matchday experience for the Reds. Situated near London Road, Nottingham, just a few minutes' walk from the City Ground fan park, the new event will provide even more matchday experience for fans of the famous club, with everything from food to its very own football talk show called Bad Tactics. Open 4 hours before every Forest and England game, the new fan park will also be showing every 5:30pm game live on the big screen at the event. After a three-year process, the new fan park is now open to Forest and England fans before games, and more details about the event can be found via the website www.fanpark.co.uk. And now the final piece for this weekend, injury news. Some big returns for Nottingham Forest this week after some hard-hitting injury issues after the festive fixtures. Taiwo Wonyi returned after a stint off the pitch due to groin surgery. He replaced Chris Wood late into the Arsenal game, scoring on his return to make it 2-1 to Nottingham Forest, almost getting the team back into the game. But unfortunately, Arsenal would go on to win 2-1. Anthony Elanga is also back after a thigh problem, and Morgan Gibbs-White returned last week. Long-term issues with Felipe seeming relaxed at the moment, with the player now back training with the first team, and he's now also available to play as well. Moussa Niakate and Cheikou Kouyaté are also returning from the African Cup of Nations after Senegal lost to Ivory Coast last weekend. So Ivory Coast now advancing, which means Sangare, Serge Aurier and Willy Bolly are still at the tournament. But Moussa Niakate and Cheikou Kouyaté are both back, and Ola Aina is also still at the AFCON tournament with Nigeria. So positive updates across the board for Nottingham Forest relating to injuries and other criteria. So that's the latest from the 1865 News Desk. I'm Jamie Martin. Be sure to catch up with me on social media via @I'mJamieMartin on Twitter. Updates on Nottingham Forest related news throughout the week. And also, to tell you more about the transfers, it's the 1865 News Podcast crew.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Now, the more eagle-eared of you will have noticed that Jamie had recorded that before the transfer deadline shut on Thursday night. So with that in mind, George, you've kindly agreed to put together a little roundup of the transfer activity. So go ahead and then we'll have a chat about it.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. And for once at Nottingham Forest, it was a pretty quiet deadline day. It's been a while since we've said that. And despite it was the fact it was new manager Nuno's first window, there was more outgoings than incomings. We'll start on the 31st of January when Forest secured their first senior signing with the loan acquisition of American international Giovanni Reina. The 21-year-old signs on loan from Borussia Dortmund until the end of the season with no buy option included in the deal. And the man with seven international goals will wear the number 20 shirt, following on from Brennan Johnson. Forest then made the first Premier League signing of transfer deadline day as they completed the signing of Rodrigo Ribeiro from Sporting Lisbon. The 18-year-old striker joins the Reds on loan until the end of the season, with Forest having a £10 million buy option at the end of the campaign. With bags of goals at youth level for both Sporting and Portugal, the striker comes with potentially featuring in the youth setup as Taiwo regains fitness. Chris Wood continues to be in good form, and with Divock Origi remaining at the club when it looked like he might be recalled. But the Portuguese may get his chance in the first team as he's been handed the number 37 shirt. It then emerged that Forest were in talks with Galatasaray over the potential sale of fullback Serge Aurier, with the Ivory Coast captain reportedly keen on the move. The transfer was on the brink of falling through as the day went on, but now we speak on Friday and it has gone through as the Turkish window is open until February the 9th. It then emerged that Forest had found the goalkeeper that they would target, but seemingly their last choice, as news circulated that they've been unsuccessful in inquiries for Aaron Ramsdale, Koen Castiles, David De Gea, Rui Silva and Cameron Kelleher, whilst also being priced out of a move for Crystal Palace's Sam Johnston. Their final option was Strasbourg number one, Matt Sells, who would be available for around £5 million. It was pictured boarding a flight to the UK at around 3 o'clock. While this was happening, Alex Mighton completed a loan move to Port Vale in League One, the 21-year-old signing after returning from a previous loan spell in January from Belgium. Then, as Jamie mentioned, came the sad news that we were all fearing, as less than 24 hours from playing 70 minutes for Forest against Arsenal, Aura Mangala was announced as a new Lyon player. The initial loan deal with a buy option worth north of £30 million, with Forest receiving a substantial loan fee. Late on in the day, a surprise approach for Ajax striker Chuba Akpom was touted, with the player reportedly keen. Last season's Championship top scorer, Akpom would have came in on loan with a £13.5 million buy obligation should Forest stay in the Premier League. Ajax and Forest spoke about this, but despite hints of a move coming together, nothing would materialise. The Mats sales move did go through, though, for up to a fee of £5 million. Strasbourg fans have been very vocal in their displeasure of losing their 31-year-old Belgian international, who does have the worst save percentage in Liga for this season. The move now means Forest have spent over £15 million on three goalkeepers this season. Here's hoping this move turns out better than the other two. Deadline day ended in departures for Brandon Aguilera, who was loaned out to Bristol Rovers, and Ethan Horvath, who was sold to Cardiff City. And while a move for Sheffield United may have fallen through, Turkish side Trabzonspor have came forward for the transfer of Joe Worrall today. That means Forest have ended the window with a net profit, and if Worrall's move goes through, they'll have shipped out 11 players whilst bringing in three.
Thank you very much, George. And that's a quiet deadline day. So we go over and we welcome Steve Burns to the podcast. Now, Steve, you've been a Forest fan for many years. You're a season ticket holder. You go down with your family. In terms of, I mean, the big talking point for when it comes to the deadline was really in goal, wasn't it? And would you agree that the majority of Reds fans will be happy to see another goalkeeper come in, but they may be a bit nervous about the pedigree of said custodian?
Yeah, I think it's a position that we really struggled with over the last few months. We've had the USA number one keeper, the USA number two keeper, the Welsh number one keeper, the Greek number one keeper, and still not had anybody that we're really confident with in goal. And I think the final straw was the mistake with Matt Turner being beaten at the near post in the game against Arsenal. You know, a shot he really should have stopped. His distribution in games as well has led a lot to be desired. So, you know, seeing somebody else come in, I think, is essential. Now, reports that I've heard in the press have suggested that this was actually a goalkeeper that Nuno was particularly keen on himself. And with Nuno's background being in goalkeeping, it kind of makes you feel he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Are you nervous, Steve, about the fact that Newcastle fans didn't have anything good to say about him? Or are you taking some reassurance from the fact that that was quite a few years ago at a time when Newcastle were nothing more than a hot mess?
Yeah, I mean, it was 6 years ago. It was in the Championship, and that's obviously a very physical division to play in. Since then, he's had 6 years playing in other teams, other circumstances, and has actually been keeper of the season in League One as well. So, you know, I'm reluctant to write players off before they arrive. I've done that before. So let's see what happens when he comes in. And to be honest, I don't think it'll be any worse than some of the options that we've had.
And George, you mentioned it earlier. We've spent £15 million on three keepers. The initial plan was to spend £15 million on Dean Henderson, and that didn't work out for various reasons. You buy cheap, you buy more than once, don't you?
Yeah, that's turned out to be the case. And now we've got three goalkeepers at a very similar age on similar contracts. So it does leave Forest in a sticky position. And if Matt Sells turns out good, then that gets them in the right place. But if in the summer it doesn't work out and they're still looking for a first team keeper with these three on the books, it does put them in a very sticky situation. I was looking for the stats as well, and I know this is really all we can go off because we don't know that much about him, although I have seen a sort of video on him on YouTube, and the last one I saw was of Brice Samba, and he turned out all right, didn't he? So let's hope he can continue with a similar vein. But I found a stat, and it was goals prevented. Matt Turner's on -5.45, Odysseus is on -4.15, and Sells is on -4. So it doesn't seem like that much of an upgrade on the stats, but let's not write him off just yet.
And of course, Steve, a keeper's only really as good as the defence he's got ahead of him. We all love Murillo. We see a lot of promise in Omar Bamadeli. The fullback positions we're slightly less certain about. So, I mean, really, you need a keeper to be commanding, but you also need a defence to repel the opposition, don't you?
Yeah, and I think it's fair enough to say that our fullbacks haven't shone with glory when it's come to defending. Montiel's mistake, obviously, in the Arsenal game this week led to the second goal. And then we look at some of the other games, you know, particularly Luton, where we conceded late on. There could have been a better cover there from the wing-backs on that one. So, yeah, I think we need to get better at being a unit. I think we've actually missed a bit of maturity in centre-back as well with having the two young centre-backs in position. You know, having the likes of Felipe in last year really kind of steadied the ship. And I think just getting a bit more experience, hopefully with Nia Karte coming back from AFCON, will really help us in that position.
Yeah, and coming back to you, George, Montiel is such an enigma, isn't he? He's either brilliant or terrible, and he often does it each of those several times in one match.
Yeah, and I personally think he's got off quite lightly from the Arsenal game, because Turner was probably rightly so getting a lot of the hate, but I think Montiel was equally at fault, and you could say had a part to play in both goals, because the first goal that we conceded, it's very similar to the one that we conceded away at Blackpool in the Cup, where it gets thrown down his side, and yes, nobody's switched on, but Montiel just lets the guy amble past him inside, and then obviously Jesus with the finish. And then for the second goal, the ball comes to him, and he hoofs it the first time, and then it comes straight back to him. So you'd think he'd maybe learn, oh, that didn't quite work. But then, obviously, it's not in the air, it's on the ground. But he does the same thing again, and it's just defensive naivety. I mean, going forward, he does offer a threat. He's offered a couple of nice assists for Dominguez, a sort of assist for Awoniyi. I mean, he did all the work for that goal against Arsenal, but I suppose Montiel was in the position. But when he keeps making defensive mistakes, like he did twice against Blackpool and then twice in this game, and I was shocked that he was still on the pitch by the end. And Williams did more defensive work from the wing than Montiel did at fullback in that game. So, I mean, obviously we've lost Serge now, but hopefully Ola Aina comes back and Williams playing fullback. I think Montiel, my patience is slowly starting to waver with him as well.
Okay. And of course, let's just remind ourselves at the start of the January window, everyone's going, oh, well, Montiel's going to be sent back. And Nuno clearly sees something there. Steve, just last thing on the topic of goalkeepers before we move on to a couple of other bits and pieces. My theory is that Nuno's obviously, as an ex-goalkeeper, as you mentioned earlier, he's seen Turner and he's seen Odysseus. And he sees something in Turner which he could be a Premier League keeper, but when a keeper's confidence is shot and the players and the fans have no confidence in him, it's a difficult one to come back from, isn't it? So we need to take him out the firing line. And if Nuno doesn't have faith in either Hennessy or Odysseus, then a new keeper was the only option, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think the nervousness around the City Ground every time the ball goes back to Turner, you can hear it in the air. And, you know, no matter how confident you go into a game, if you hear the crowd making those kind of noises early on, it's going to play on your mind. You know, the mistakes that we've seen from him, particularly with his distribution. And let's be honest, we were absolutely blessed when we had Samba with his distribution. We didn't really know what we had until it had gone. But now seeing that with Turner and hearing the collective gasps around the stadium, it's not going to be doing him any favours.
Okay. Just a quick word on some of the others. Obviously, in the attacking positions, the other two players who've come in, we've got Gio Reyna and Rodrigo Ribeiro. Ribeiro seen as one for the slightly longer term. But, George, what do you make about Reyna? Is that just a bit of showboating with the Jorge Mendes connection?
It looks to be that way, doesn't it? I think it's a signing Forest had to make, because in the wings, we've had Elanga absent, and while he's been gone, we've had no threat on the wings. Dominguez has done a decent job, and Williams, who's naturally probably a more attacking player than he is defensively, doing the job on the wing. But ultimately, Hudson-Odoi's not hit the heights we'd hoped. And if Forrest could get a sign like this, pretty Hollywood, if you say, then it's good going. I mean, he's made consistent substitute appearances for Borussia Dortmund, and you're no slouch to be doing that. So, and 24 international caps as well. I think all we want from him really is just for him to show a bit of confidence, show a bit of belief in himself, which maybe Hudson-Odoi kind of lacks. And as long as he comes with that attitude, then I'm sure he'll succeed. And hopefully he does far better than the other American that we've got at the club.
And it's interesting one, really, because like you say, I think everyone's looking for a bit of a win-win, aren't they? So if Reyna gets form back, he's a winner, and it's a winner for Borussia Dortmund, and it's also a winner for Forest in the short term. Are you surprised to see Brandon Aguilera go on loan to League One in return?
I suppose that probably paved the way for him to go, didn't it, with Reyna coming in, then Forest felt comfortable for Aguilera. And maybe the sort of hint of first-team football that he's been getting over the last few weeks maybe wanted Nuno and him to desire him to get more. And I don't think you can either guarantee him or expect him to perform on a consistent level in the Premier League, being as young as he is. So I think Forrest did well sending him out into League One. It's a very physical league. I mean, he's probably going to be wishing that he was playing teams like Bristol and Brentford every week. But I think it'll be a good experience for him, and hopefully he can flourish and then provide for us next season.
Steve, he'll need to get on the protein shakes, won't he?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think there were signs in the FA Cup matches that he played at just how slight he is. He was getting very easily pushed off the ball. So, you know, hopefully being exposed to a more physical form of football means that when he comes back, we've got somebody more ready for playing.
And we saw Brennan Johnson go on loan to League One and come back a completely different player, how strong he came back. And obviously it's not for a full year, but that's something that hopefully Aguilera can take on as well.
Okay, just sticking with you, Steve, obviously we heard from Jamie about Aurel Mangala. As a fan, do you think it's a good move or not to weaken the team in pursuit of getting a significant profit when that loan becomes made permanent?
I think it's that difficult balancing act, isn't it? Of, you know, we've been able to pretty much triple our money in 18 months, and that's got to be good business. And in terms of balancing, you know, the spend that we've had over the last couple of seasons, you know, that has to be taken into consideration. Mangala clearly made quite a slow start to coming into the squad, but this year he's by far and away been our most consistent player. I'm, for one, very disappointed to go. I actually have a friend who's a Lyon fan who's been singing their demise all season and, you know, rang me up to say, well, who's this Mangala that's coming? I've not heard of him. And my initial response was, well, hands off, you can't have him. But that's all gone through now. I mean, we wish him well. He's been a great servant for us for the last couple of seasons. But yeah, definitely sad to see him go.
And staying with you, Steve, talking of servants, word is that with the Turkish window still open, that Trabzonspor are interested in Joe Worrall. Are you expecting to see the club skipper leave the City Ground?
I'm expecting him to leave, but I'd be surprised if he went to Turkey, if I'm being honest. Clearly, there's a desire for him to move on and to play football again. But knowing how tied he is to this area, I'd be very surprised to see him go as far as Turkey. I mean, clearly that would be, you know, a sad day for those of us that lived through the glory of the last couple of years, and particularly Wembley. You've seen the last few players from the 21-22 season disappear. But yeah, I hope for my sake, I hope this isn't the end of Joe Worrall.
And George, on that topic, I mean, there's word about Sheffield United coming in and having Worrall as their kind of backup option if they didn't manage to sign Mason Holgate on loan. As it turns out, they did manage to sign him on loan. So Sheffield, obviously local, he could stay local. If I was him, would you not be thinking, yeah, actually, if I can't stay local, then I might as well go somewhere completely different?
Yeah, I guess. I guess he wants to get himself football, and anywhere will do when you're a lad like Joe Worrall, who, I mean, in his career didn't really, it took him a while to get first team football, but once he did, he was playing for a couple of years, and then coming into the Premier League, especially this season, it was probably a bit of a hit for him not playing week in, week out, and you can't fault him for wanting that for himself. So I would be surprised, like Steve said, if he uproots and moves to a different country, Turkey. I can't imagine him speaking Turkish very well, but I really hope he can find somewhere that can really reignite his career, because he's been a fantastic servant to this club. It's brilliant having a club captain that's a Forest fan through and through. And like we're going to probably mention later, it's great to see Lewis Graben come back to the City Ground, and those players always bring back a warm memory. And just quickly on Mangala, I just think the attitude that he's shown playing for Forest when he knew it would be his last game, not making the attention was all on him, because he could have, when he got subbed, you know, taken up all the applause, made it all about him, but he just jogged off. And I think he's been fantastic servant for the club. It's a miss, it's a loss for Forest, but we can only have happy memories about both him and Joe Worrall.
And of course, let's not forget that Worrall is still at the club. So is Divock Origi, although the MLS window, it appears that that's where he's going. Nuno Tavares, there's some word about him going back to Arsenal, as well as, I say, there's a suggestion that Montiel might move at the start of the window. So not lots of outgoings, but not as many as we'd expect. Serge Aurier, I think that's probably about the wages, I would have thought. Just last word on Joe Worrall to you, please, Steve. He's 26 years old, I think 27 now. Do you think it's reasonable for Forrest to kind of say, well, he's at a stage of his career where, as a defender, he's probably not going to add any more strings to his bow, and therefore maybe it makes sense to let him go somewhere else where he can get regular football, most likely in the division below?
Yeah, and I think it's also about the here and now, isn't it? Recognising that he's a long way down the pecking order in terms of some of the defenders that we have in place. Whether he does manage to improve or not, we're needing players that can actually play now and can fill that gap now. So, you know, if he does leave, then obviously it'll be a sad day, but we'll wish him well.
Okay, thank you very much. So we will, I'm sure we'll end up talking about some of those players again in the future. But as George mentioned, Lewis Grabban was back at the ground the other day. And this was the Nottingham Conference, which is spearheaded by Evangelos Marinakis through his connections with Harvard University and the Lilian Thuram Foundation. He's hosted similar events at Olympiacos. So, George, just a few thoughts, really, from your point of view as a young fan. Are you delighted to see Forest getting behind the causes of race and gender equality? And is that a good use of, I suppose, Forest's position in the community?
Yeah, I think it's really pleasing. You know, as a mixed race fan myself, it's really pleasing to see Forest addressing these issues that ultimately have faded and upped and downed in the last few years, but are always really going to be around society and in football. So to see the club that you support throwing its arms around the city and embracing these issues and trying to combat them, attracting people like Thierry Henry to Nottingham, which you'd never have thought when we were sitting bottom of the Championship a couple of years ago. And it's really lovely to see, you know, an owner who does things like that. Under Fowers, we dreamed of an owner that cared about the club, cared about the city. And Marinakis, although you can maybe fault some of his morals, he has came into Nottingham and really embraced us, really put us on the map. And, you know, it's just everything that you'd want in a football owner. And these things like that, they just put your faith back into football, that it can be a sport for everybody. And I don't think we're there yet, but I think things like this will steer us in the right direction to get there.
Now, in a few minutes, we're going to hear from Ellie, our other regular contributor, who also falls into the category of young Forest fan. And Ellie was at some of the Nottingham Conference because she is an ambassador for her game too. And she made the point that some of the replies to some of the tweets about the events show why such an event is required. Now, George, from your perspective, as you mentioned, you are mixed race, you're a young fan. Is that just posturing from idiots on social media, or is it really a sign that we need this kind of stuff to be going on?
I think it's more prominent on social media because people can hide behind social media quite easily. As a mixed race fan, I haven't experienced that much sort of racism in the stands myself. I think at the minute, sexism is probably the biggest issue in football at the minute, although there is incidents of many other things. So, yeah, I think that these issues are always going to be around, but I think social media has emphasised it and has maybe turned the issue further away from the stands and onto social media. And both ways have got to be combated. It's hard to combat social media perhaps more than it is in the grounds. So I think that's why these people probably can still hurl the abuse that they want to, but behind the comfort of a screen. So that's maybe why we're moving towards this more digital abuse and why our resources have got to change.
Just from my point of view, this is not a conversation about me, but there's times when I'm glad that we're not in the same division as Leicester, because when Forest play Leicester, it's horrifically predictable. But anyway, let's move on from that. There's another whole other conversation we can have there. Just lastly, before we shift forwards, Steve, Marinakis used the conference to have a little dig at Premier League chief executive Richard Masters. Now, apart from the fact that obviously this is actually quite funny, what do you make of that?
I think Marinakis' comment about it being inappropriate, I think is quite right, actually. Particularly when you see a lot of comments in social media about the way that both Everton and Forest are probably being treated unfairly, you know, compared with what's happening with Manchester City with the 100 and so charges that they've got against them, which never seem to have been being resolved. And the way that the PSR rules seem to be arranged favours the larger clubs with the larger grounds, the larger revenue to start off with. So it kind of feeds very much into that narrative of, you know, PSR is there really to support the bigger clubs staying big and to help to prevent really the up and coming clubs from making that jump into the top six. So I understand the anger that there's been online around this one. I think it makes a lot of sense, really.
And I mean, ultimately, It was a stupid comment made by somebody representing the organisation that the clubs have to be part of. But ultimately, George, I mean, Steve's got a point, hasn't he? Forest, The whole thing about the Brennan Johnson's transfer and when it went through is because Forest were trying to extract the maximum value from a saleable asset, which is exactly what PSR is supposed to be promoting. So it does seem that there's a little bit of twisted thinking, if we put it that way.
Yeah, there's always going to be twisted thinking in the Premier League, unfortunately. I think Richard Masters' comments and his attitude said it all, because as so-called small clubs, we know where we are in the food chain. So we know that we've got to sell our assets like Brennan Johnson, like Oro Mangala. If the right price comes along, you know, you see Brighton have done it. I mean, they've absolutely scammed Chelsea, to be fair. But you see all clubs all over the country do it because they know where they are. They know how they have to sustain themselves. And if you can get that extra 10, 15 million, that meant Forest could maybe sign a few more players in the summer. So the fact that they've done it, yet are being charged for it and had an open dialogue with the Premier League all the way along shows that there's something wrong with these rules. And the fact that Everton could be charged for the same thing twice in the same season over two different financial years really shows that the rules are broken and that, you know, the so-called smaller clubs are being targeted, really.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
2024 is upon us, which means a packed schedule of FA Cup, AFCON, and of course, Premier League action. Beat the January Blues and watch every game with the atmosphere it deserves down at your local Green King Sports Pub. Don't settle for a dodgy stream. If it's on the telly, it's on at your local Green King venue across a huge HD screen. It's huge. If you download the Green King Sports app, you'll also receive 10% off every single drink whenever there's a game on, and you'll also be supporting us here at 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. If you're doing dry January, then Green King venues also offer a range of low and no alcohol options, so you don't have to settle for a worse sports watching experience.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to 1865, and this is the Friday Five on, yes, Saturday the 3rd of February. We heard from Jamie earlier with the latest news stories, and one of those was about the Forest Fan Park, which has started off this week. And our very own Ellie had a chat with Satch from the Fan Park. Let's hear what they talked about.
Hello, and with me today, I've got Satch. He is the founder of Fan Park UK. And if you don't know about Fan Park, it is a new Forest fan park located at Binks Yard. And it is, they launched on the 30th, so at the Arsenal game. Hello, Satch.
Hey, Ellie. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being here. We're very excited to talk to you about everything you do. So firstly, I wanted to ask, what is Fan Park like? How is it different to other fan zones? And what is it you're trying to create?
We're trying to create like an immersive fan experience. The other fan zones around Nottingham were really good, but we just felt that we could sort of elevate certain areas, I guess. So we've got a whole area with lots of street food that's just rotating every game. We've got the biggest screen in the Midlands, so the screen's like absolutely insane. We've got special guests on every week. We've got a debate section called Bad Tactics, which Ellie, you were of course on last week. well, not, it wasn't even last week, was it? It was a couple of days ago. But yeah. We've got that section, and then we've got a lot of interaction with the fans that are coming to the ground as well. So we've got a section called Fan Cam, which Max Hayes is fronting up, and we're just been quite inclusive, so we're looking for feedback from fans and hopefully a lot of just positive feedback, because all we're trying to do is strive to offer fans something that is a little bit special, I guess. Like, so we're putting a lot of effort and emphasis on the production level, so we've got loads of cool games throughout the game, and then from March we've got Asahi UK sponsoring us. They're sponsoring Man City and Brentford Fan Park, so you can sort of imagine the production that's going into that. And then yeah, we're hopefully going into the Euros really positively. We open every day during the Euros as well. So, yeah, it's exciting times.
Oh, well, I can say, having been to the event, it was genuinely amazing. I had a brilliant time.
You said it was the best day of your life, didn't you, Ellie?
Oh, yeah, I had the time of my life. I mean, I did shoot myself in the foot saying Ryan Yates is, you know, they're not ready for him and he didn't start. But we don't talk about that. That's why it's called bad tactics.
Yeah.
And just so for everyone listening, what games is Fan Park opening? How do they get tickets? How does it all work? And can we reserve tables?
Yeah, of course you can. So we're open for every Forest home match for pre-match entertainment. We're open after every game for post-match entertainment and for every single televised match. So the first televised match is a week on Saturday against Newcastle. So we'll be open from 11 a.m. Table reservations and free tickets are available on our website at fanpark.co.uk. We're asking fans to get their tickets beforehand, even though they're free tickets, just so that we avoid queues. So one of the things that we've realised is a lot of fan zones at the moment, they just people in queues for longer than they're in the actual fan zone. So in order for us to navigate that, we've offered a free ticket. We're limiting that to the first 1,200 people. So those 1,200 people can get access to the fan park without queuing.
Oh, wow. As well, for everyone else, what's the itinerary like? Because I know you said you've got entertainment. What is it that goes on before a Forest match or after and during a Forest match?
So it changes every week. So we've got live singers in. The other day we had Just Ben in. We'll have bands on. We'll have singers on. Kieran Hardcastle is our main presenter alongside Max Hayes. So we've got fan cam. We've got question and answers with people from different Forest podcasts. And we always try and have an opponent. So we had Arsenal TV down for the Arsenal one and Arsenal fan reaction. We had four people representing those. And that was really good. That's during a section of bad tactics. We've got a section where we've got Forest fans that will, alongside the opponent side, will choose their perfect 11, which is what you were referring to with the Ryan Yates. And that's wicked. We've had some really interesting answers. And we've got happy hour either side of the match. So at Newcastle, the happy hour is from 11:30 until 12:30. And then post-match, it's from 7:30 until 8:30. We've tried to start the game really early and go on till late.
Perfect. That sounds amazing. Thank you so much for coming on and good luck with everything you do.
So much. And if any fans want to get involved, just drop us a DM on our Instagram page at FanparkUK. We'd love to hear from you and we'd love to see you down at Fanpark soon.
Thank you very much to Satch and indeed to our very own Ellie, who, as you heard there, she made her fan park debut on the bad tactics discussion. That girl does make herself known. She was in the same room as Thierry Henry just the other night. Okay, we will just finish off by talking about injuries. Steve, it must have been a massive relief when you saw Taiwo Awoniyi on the bench. I wasn't necessarily expecting him to play. I think needs must. Alanga back as well. Felipe, I mean, I have no idea how much Felipe is going to play, but it's good to see some of the senior players returning. And then, of course, Niakate and Kouyaté coming back from AFCON as well. So does this give you a bit of hope through what's been quite a difficult few weeks?
Yeah, definitely. The last few weeks, it's kind of felt a little bit like we're clinging on. You know, with Morgan Gibbs-White dropping out for those couple of games as well, who's clearly been pivotal to everything that we've had that's been good over the last few months. So, yeah, seeing Taiwo come back on at halftime against Arsenal, and he immediately made such a difference at the front, holding the ball up, causing the defender so much trouble. And forgotten really how good he was up front and being able to get into his position to push the defenders around and score that goal towards the end of the game, you know, gave us a little bit of hope for a few minutes that we might be able to bag a point. So, yeah, it's fantastic seeing these players coming back in. I think it makes me more hopeful that we can start to gather some points, move up the table and hopefully move away from the bottom three.
Yeah, George, I mean, for all that Chris Wood has been putting in some good shifts, there's a reason that Taiwo is the first choice number nine, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Taiwo just offers something that not many other strikers in the league can offer. I mean, the goal that he scored against Saliba and Gabriel, I can't think of maybe any Haaland that could score that goal. And he shrugged them off like they weren't there. And he's 6'2". He looks quite broad, but you wouldn't think he'd be able to just do that to some big centre-halves like that. So it's what we've missed. I mean, I've been quite vocal about my displeasure about the January sort of break that's happening and the lack of fixtures. But I suppose that's really helped us because we lost a bundle of players and slowly they're coming back. But I think you saw in the second half against Bristol how much Gibbs-White really is probably the key figure in that. And when he's got players like Elanga, who, if we're being honest, didn't look that fit against Arsenal, but at the weekend against Bournemouth, he's got like a few days to regain that fitness. And Taiwo coming back with the signing of Raya as well. I really think that the attacking options are coming through for Forest. And with Niakate coming back, I think we've missed him because Murillo and Amabamadeli have done well, but I think they miss height. I mean, you look at the Brentford game, we could have just done with someone in there. I mean, I advocated for Laurel or McKenna to play that game because I thought we just needed someone to head those balls away that kept coming into the box. So they're all welcome additions back. Hopefully Niakate will be in the right frame of mind, obviously, after missing the penalty for Senegal that sent them seen out. But I think he's a strong-minded guy and I'm sure he'll be in the right frame of mind. And let's hope that this Bournemouth game, as the game start coming thick and fast, the squad's coming together, it's really a time for momentum to start gathering, really.
Steve?
Yeah, and I think also with going back to Taiwo, I think it gives us another style of attacking as well. We were most successful with him early on in the season when we were playing with fast wingers, through balls for him to run onto. You know, Wood's just not the kind of player that can do that. Wood has been great as a target man, you know, popping up in the six-yard box. Apart from his prime R9-like appearance against Newcastle, which I think shocked everybody, it's great that we've actually got two different ways, really, of attacking now.
Yeah, well, definitely shocked the Newcastle fans, as a few of them have tweeted to tell me. Just a couple of things as well, staying with you there, Steve. So, I mean, you mentioned that about that attacking prowess. And with Elanga, Taiwo and Gibbs-White out, we really lacked pace going forward as well, didn't we?
Yeah, it was happened to be a very patient build-up, which is not something that's led to much joy for us. I think defending teams have just learned to be able to sit back against us when they've needed to, soak up the pressure, and we find it very difficult to break those scenarios down. As we all know, our set pieces aren't particularly good. I mean, we've obviously got the new set piece coach in now that's coming and working, you know, with the team both from an attacking and defending perspective. But yet we're still to see the fruits of that work coming out in our attacking.
Mm. And just to go back to something that George said as well, I think having Niakate back, I mean, I've gone on record before as saying I think he's a quality defender. But crucially, I think we get the best out of Murillo when he's got an experienced and calm head next to him. And that's something that Niakate offers that maybe none of the other senior centre halves do. In fact, sometimes he's a bit too calm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we know that Niakate is occasionally prone to a mistake, you know, that sending off that you had earlier on in the season just through being a little bit clumsy. But yeah, he certainly brings a steady hand to the back four. Plus, as well, there's the threat associated with his long throw. I think we really missed that as an offensive weapon in our arsenal.
And George, that's where you were going, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that because can you imagine those last 10 minutes against Arsenal? It's 2-1. We're back in the game. We've got confidence. And we've got the option of Musa with a long throw in. That's just what we've missed. And I mean, I think someone tried it at one point, but it didn't really go very far. So that's something that we'll really be welcoming back.
Mm. And I'm glad as well, George, you mentioned Scott McKenna, because somehow between you, me, Steve and Jamie, we managed to forget to mention that Scott McKenna has left the club. He's on loan at FC Copenhagen for the rest of the season, which takes him through to the end of his Forest contract. So we wish him well. I've been asked to contribute a little bit to a Danish radio station talking about Scott McKenna, and I will be saying fond things about him because he was a key member of that promotion squad, but also I think he is a good old-fashioned centre half, but also with the ability to do something a little bit more than that. And he seems a good, solid character. So we wish him well. Okay, that just brings us to the end of today's podcast. Just a quick note, we wish, obviously, Serge Aurier has moved on, so he's going to Galatasaray. But we've still got Ola Aina and Ibrahim Sangare and Willy Bolly to return from AFCON. It looks as though they may well be gone for a little longer. So obviously we hope to get them back. I think we could do with those bodies back in the squad alongside what we've already said. But that brings us to the end of this Friday Five on a Saturday. I want to say thank you very much to George, to Jamie for the news roundup, and to Ellie for her conversation with Satch from Fan Park. And thank you very much to our special guest contributor, Steve Burns. So thanks for joining us, Steve, and we hope you'll be back soon. And of course, massively thank you to you for listening. If you like what we do, then you know how to show your appreciation. Please share our content, follow us on social media. All the links are 1865.football. And if you are using a fruit-based device, then please, please, please leave us a nice review and comment, because that is how other people will find our content. We'll be back with a report after the Bournemouth match, and we hope that you can join us for that. Cheers then, and bye-bye.
Podcast Network. With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.